Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Would you ever think the day would happen where an abortionist gathering allegedly was taking place and one of the alleged abortion doctors comes out when Christians are walking up and down and praying that God would end abortion, and they had some signs out there, I guess. The abortionist doctor comes out and gets on her knees and begins to pray to Jesus and talks about how she thanks God for guiding her hand to take the life of a child. You wouldn't even think it would be true. But you know, the Lord said there'll be days of great deception. And deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're not right. This doctor is saying she's believing, based on what her prayer is, public prayer was, it is the fact that God is with her in what she's doing in the taking of life. As a matter of fact, we have it for you right now. Listen, this parental guidance is suggested. You know, that because there's going to be a picture there that shows what happens in the context of an aborted child. But so you might want to get your children out of the place. But right beside that, she's kneeling. This is an abortionist doctor, allegedly, that's on her knees coming outside of a gathering where there was a gathering of doctors together who do abortions. And she's praying. And you'll see for yourself. Let's take a look.
Me too. the evidence, the scientific, the rigorous study of abortion stigma does hurt women far more than anything else they could be going through. And that stigma regarding any woman's choice of pregnancy outcome, whether it's abortion or adoption or parenting, when there is an actual stigma, or when there is a perception of stigma, this is what leads to negative outcomes for emotional and mental and social health. And this is proven with rigorous peer-reviewed scientific research. And I'm so grateful to be in a time in our life and in this world that I'm able to participate in that and to know this and to use this in furthering the work of the Lord. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You just think about this. You know, the Lord told us that deception will happen in the last days. And what deception is what we think we're doing, it's right. Where you can actually have this mindset where this doctor who you see on her shirt, and you'll show it just a minute right here, you can see on her shirt it says Planned Parenthood. And this is right by an aborted child right beside her. And she's talking about the stigma of abortion, the pain that a woman would feel. And there is a lot of pain when a woman goes through that later on in life, maybe not at that moment, but you're looking at who's having the greater pain, the child who was just murdered or the doctor who's saying Jesus is guiding her hand. She said this, I am grateful every day to feel thy spirit, she thinks she's talking to God, and thy guiding hand in my work. Her work is to kill the children in the womb, abortion, and to support her spirit. But it looks like she really believes that. You have to understand that's called deception. We're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. People really believe what they're doing is God when it's not God. So it's important for us to realize the answer to that kind of lie is the truth. Make sure you join us at the break. We'll talk more about that.
We'll be right back.
Everybody yes. will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now. Learning how to abide with God is so important because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. And it comes right to you in your email. And it's a great step-by-step.
It's beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the King. Since his kingdom is manifesting,
right.
it's be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth is about to happen. You want to know the King.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst that we really could walk away with greater courage.
I'm not the Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says he will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says he has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. It's just shocking if you missed the earlier part of our program that you saw this doctor, you know, alleged doctor, Planned Parenthood badge sitting on his shirt, as obvious as can be. And based on if what she was saying she believes, she's deceived. Mm-hmm. You can't kill children just because somebody has an unwanted pregnancy and that not be evil. And the word you heard her say over and over again is she's talking to her God, which is not God as she was talking to, really. It's not. It's not. This is what Paul said. Paul said, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus, he says Satan's servants come to you. They come as like servants of the light.
Masquerading
as servants of the light. Yeah. And so they're, you know, she talked about judgment. You know, that people who say that, you know, killing a child in the womb is being judgmental towards a pregnant mother versus killing the baby is kind of bringing judgment on that baby's life. It's just ups, down, and down is up. And she's, what that's called is called deception. You know, John Bevere said this. John Bevere, he wrote a book called The Fear of the Lord. And he said it's a pretty powerful book. It shook a lot of us up. But he said this. He said, the longer someone is deceived, in other words, they really believe something mm-hmm. that's not true, the thicker the veil gets over their eyes, the veil over their eyes, and the harder it is to convince them what they're doing is wrong. So you're looking at the longer America says this is okay. Mm-hmm. It's been since 1973 since America said it's okay. And if it really was okay, we wouldn't be having all these problems today. It's not okay to take life. It's just not. God's going to hold us accountable for the innocent bloodshed that's taken place in America. I mean, more people have been aborted in America than live in Canada. If you took all the abortions that took place in America since 1973, and you took the population of America, almost 50% of the country would be gone. That's how many people. I mean, you have it's not many people in the mid-states, but you start taking those out. That's like we're killing an entire, this is like King Herod going and trying to find out which one is Jesus and killing all the two-year-olds and below. This is like Pharaoh going, trying to find Moses and killing all the, children trying to stop something. And we're actually legalized it. Doctors praying on her knees in front of everybody. The police is even looking at her going like, is this really going on? And the thing about it is, maybe she really believes that. And, you know, it's really your job, our job as Christians, to let her know about the love of God. She thinks the love of God, based on what her prayer is that to allow the woman to kill her child because she does have a career and it was just one, you know, they don't need another child. They already have two already. And besides, it's going to get in the way of the new house and the new kitchen design that they want and the new vacation plan that they have, you know. So just let her go ahead and take that child. I mean, this is crazy. The reason, it's like the enemy has created a narrative that family is a negative thing, that marriage is a negative thing, that having children is a tolerant thing, and that somehow you have to tolerate them, and versus saying, it's a wonderful thing, it's a gift. You know, life is a gift, and when God gives you the ability to create life, and he breathes life into that child in your womb, then he says, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. I knit you together. So each cell that begins to create through mitosis and divides and builds and grows into this awesome thing that we know as the human being, living human being, is the fact that it's God. We're creating the image and the likeness of God. And so it's so important for us to understand we've got to get back in the Word of God because we can be so deceived. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be deceived when you don't know. I mean, how are you going to know what a lie is?
If you don't know what the truth is.
Can you imagine getting pulled over for a speeding ticket by a police officer? You've been speeding, but there was never a speed limit sign anywhere mm-hmm. on any road. I mean, wouldn't you be going like, that's unfair. I didn't know what the speed limit was. But what if the speed limit was actually in a book called the Bible? You just chose not to look in there to find out what the speed limit was. Guess what? You're still going to get a ticket. You're still going to be brought to the eternal judgment seat of Christ. You're still going to be held accountable. Just because you said, I didn't want to pick it up. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to read it. It made me feel condemned for the sin that I was in. Listen, the Word of God reveals the sin that's in our heart. It turns us to God to say, God, I've sinned. And he goes, I know. Now you know. If you ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you. Mm-hmm. And I'll remember that sin no more. Of course it makes, if in fact we're in sin, and we're walking in open sin, and we haven't asked God to forgive us for it. We do. When you walk into the light, you're kind of like, you know, oh my goodness, don't look at me. You know, I feel so, you know, sinful. I feel so bad when you talk about God. It's like, well, the bad part is feeling because you're in sin. But listen, God can forgive you for that, and you can actually stay in the light and walk in the light. But Jesus says the verdict is in. He says that when the truth came, You chose to continue to walk in darkness because you didn't want the light, because the light just kind of shows our desperate need for a Savior. And it's good news because God will forgive this doctor, but she needs to meet God. The God she's talking about, even though the names seem the same, they're not the same. The God of Islam is not the same of God of Christianity. And the God of this Planned Parenthood is not the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give life, not to take life. If God has created life in a mother's womb, I mean, think about this. If, in fact, Mary was here today and she was carrying Jesus in her womb, this doctor would be talking to who she perceives as God, praying to a Jesus she's about to kill that's in Mary's womb. She would have aborted Jesus. And she would have said, at least Mary's not having a stigma, you know, and having a difficult time with this unwanted pregnancy. And she was a virgin, 16 years old and unmarried, right?
Yeah.
So, and the Spirit of God hovered over Mary and she conceived Jesus in her womb. And so how many people are believing the lies like this and are just so deceived that they're aborting the next Moses, they're aborting the next Joshua, they're aborting the next Elijah, they're trying to abort, the enemy's trying to convince you. And listen, the difficult thing, the stigma is this, based on my understanding and hearing reports and studies from women who have gone through abortion, aborted their child, for the moment it seemed good, but you got to go live with that. So 5 years later, you're looking at all these other five-year-old boys and girls, and you're going like,
That's my child.
And the devil that convinces you and deceives you to take your child's life, he is going to beat you for the next 30, 40 years and just condemn you. He's evil. Satan is evil. He convinces you to do something that caused the child, you know, and so now you have the child, and now he actually convinces you to take the life of the child and deceives you, and then he condemns you for the rest of your life for taking the child. You know, you got to say, you know what? I'm going to stop this madness. I'm going to have this child. I'm going to support women who are carrying these children and tell them life is important. Don't take that life. You're going to have to live with taking that life. And God will forgive you. But you have to come to the understanding that it's taking of life. It's ending of life. It's ending the entire generation. I mean, if you go back and you trace lineages of families and you notice it all goes back to one person, and this person, they got married and they had these two children and three children and four children, next thing you know, like 400,000 to 500,000 people are around.
Because that one person.
Yeah, and God said this. He said this about, you know, Jacob and Esau. He didn't say there was two fetuses in your womb. He didn't say there was two babies in your womb. He said there's two nations in your womb. Two nations. Mm-hmm. Every time you take the life of a child or a person, you're aborting and killing a nation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
Well, I think about how many things that we're praying about, the problems in our nation, or we're talking about who has the next cure for cancer. And imagine how many people God has tried to give to us by their life that, hey, this was going to be the founder of the person that, you know, found out how to cure cancer or many other situations. But what turned out was that they were decided to be aborted. And it's just like, these are the very things. It's just like God still holds us accountable for every one of those.
Well, this is another big deception is the fact that, oh man, if I have this child, I'm gonna have to share my money with this child. I'm gonna have to actually share my plate of food with them. I'm gonna have to get them their own bed.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to sacrifice my life. Listen, that's not a negative thing. That's called caring about people. Mm-hmm. That's called, you know, even if your children don't appreciate it, you wanna be able to share your life with people. And we get back from this break, you're going to see people that chose to be childless by choice. Childless by choice. And they have a club and they're talking about it. They said, we spend all of our money on ourselves. It's going to be, you know, it's just going to help us understand. But remember this, in Luke 21:8, Jesus said, he said, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming I am he. And the time is near. He says, do not follow those folks that are doing that. Listen. She is talking to what she perceives as God, but she's deceived. Don't follow that. Don't encourage that. Love her. Mm-hmm. You know, pray for her and pray that God would end abortion and send revival and send a third great awakening. But we cannot be, as Christians, saying it's okay to be able to take the life of this child.
is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Ideas and isms come and go. There are many who didn't believe in God who now do. Ann Wilson, one of the most respected scholars in the United Kingdom, several years ago wrote some pretty hostile books against Christian theism. He really was a trailblazer for people like Dawkins and Hitchens and all of them. He preceded them. In April of 2009, Ann Wilson did a turnaround. He really no longer could make sense out of things like beauty, music, the aesthetic side of life without God. And at Easter, found himself back in church and recognizing the resurrected Christ as the sole answer for life and value and eternal verities and so on.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The word of wisdom, the moment of wisdom, we talk about, you know, every day, a moment of wisdom, and we want to share with you. It's the 27th of the month, and so we want to share from Proverbs 27:18, as a matter of fact. And we kind of correspond with it. Like I said, it's about 31 chapters in Proverbs, therefore it's 31, sometimes 30, sometimes a little bit less in a month. But Proverbs 27 kind of helps you out. Let that whole chapter of Proverbs just wash over you, because right now we need some wisdom. Mm-hmm. We need some wisdom big time. Well, Proverbs 27:18 reads, "He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And he who looks after his master," which is boss or employer, you think of it that way, "and he that looks after his master will be honored." It will be. Think about that. Mm-hmm. "He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit." In other words, if you work on the fig tree, you're going to eat. And if you don't work on the fig tree, right, it's not because you're going to get punished. You're not going to have any figs. You know? You got to have some fig. You're going to work the tree, you get some figs. And then he compares it to that, and he says, "He who looks after his employer or his boss will be honored," or his master will be honored. You think about it. In a day where so many people are losing their employment or fearing losing it, mm-hmm, we need to look to see if we've been walking in God's wisdom when it comes to us taking care of the needs of our employers, mm-hmm, and our bosses. Have we only worked for our own personal benefit or our family's benefit? And in our heart, we know we saw our relationship with our boss or our employer or supervisor as an adversarial one. Have we looked at it with, "I'm going to get mine," or "I deserve more," or "I'm just going to do the basic requirements, you know, lay low and not do anything extra. I'm going to go home. That's it." Or, mm-hmm, "I'm going to stand around the time clock," mm-hmm, "close to getting off, so I can clock out right there at the moment that I'm going to take home. I wonder how much money's spent around that time clock," right?
Yeah, right.
And on and on. How do we respond to our bosses, our employers, our supervisors? You know, is it all about me? Never emphasizing their needs? You know, walking, being empathetic towards our bosses, walking in their shoes. What's it like to be able to be an owner or a supervisor or a leader? You know, God's wisdom says very specifically that if we will look after the needs of our employer, if we look after the needs of our bosses, that God will bless us. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, but also you have the greatest chance that he or she's going to bless you and take care of you. I mean, think, mm-hmm, about it. Empathy is a very important word. It's like walking in someone's shoes. When you think about being empathetic towards your boss, a lot of people, mostly you hear, "I expect my boss to have empathy for me," but you don't hear many people talking about having empathy for their employer or their, mm-hmm, supervisor or their boss. And if you can get this, because listen, first of all, as a Christian, we serve a Lord who's able to empathize with our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. He can relate to us. And if you want to minister to the one that owns your company, your supervisor, your boss, whatever, you know, you're going to need to empathize with them. I mean, if you don't empathize, but this is an example. Here's an example. Maybe you're going to sit down and have coffee together, you know, with your boss. Mm-hmm.
And you say something like this: you know, I was watching you this year during all this difficult financial times in this economy. The pressure you must be feeling and having to balance so much to keep your dream, your vision, and our company profitable and healthy. It must cause you many sleepless hours, you know. I think about it. It must cause you many sleepless hours, and how sometimes it just, you know, the pressure that you must be feeling. Well, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you, that your sacrifice for us and this company and our customers has not been unnoticed. The burden that you are carrying is greatly appreciated. I mean, it was your vision. I mean, there was no company before you began to build this business. And I realized that, you know, you labored and I was honored for you to invite me into this, you know, and I've seen it. And I just want you to know that I'm here for you, you know, and the company will stand with you. I'll stand with you. And if you see a way that I can help carry this burden, a way I can make your load easier, I want you to know, by God's grace, you know, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I'll be there with you, man. I'll be there. I'm just thankful, you know, we can do this thing together. I'm grateful to you for allowing me to work with you for the success of this business and being able to provide for my family. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you'll stand out like a huge, bright halogen light because very few people empathize with those who are willing. As a matter of fact, this whole turn of our nation right now is totally missing the reality of what it takes to be able to establish things in a business. And it's like they always assumed that it was always there, that it wasn't always somebody there who labored and had a vision to bring something to pass. And because we lived in a free country, we were able to do that very thing, to be able to somebody's dream could be fulfilled, you know, and begin to empathize with your employer, your boss. Begin to empathize with them. Let God see that. He says, even if your boss does not reward you, if you do this with a right heart, God will reward you. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that.
That's right.
But if you're one that just shows up for yourself and you're in it for whatever and you hang around the time clock and you're looking for them to empathize with you right now, business in America needs you to empathize with them because they are under attack. Today's proverb, Proverbs 27:18. He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master, his boss, his employer, will be honored.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.